2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to go ahead and read the first part of this. We're not actually preaching from the first part of it. In fact, we're going to get down to verse number 14, and I'm going to basically preach from a statement there out of verse number 14. But I want us to get the background. I want you to understand what's happening in the last days. And he says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, and theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, that persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and that being assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Let us pray. Father, I certainly want to thank you again for the blessed book, the Bible, the truth, your truth. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this wonderful book, the Word of God. And once again tonight, this preacher needs your help, your power, your wisdom. I just need you. And I ask you, Lord, to help me. And help us as a people, Lord, to learn tonight some things that will help us. So we just pray, put this thing in thy hands. Ask that the will of God be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to preach a message tonight, which I've entitled from the first part of verse number 14, Continue Thou. You know, after all of the things that he mentions in the first part of that chapter, he tells us these things are in the last days. He's not just talking to a world here, because the world, we understand and know, it's going to get worse and worse. But he's even speaking here of what's going to be in the church. That's an awesome thing. And you, when you think about that, and of course, as you read, we read down through those things, there's no doubt they're there. They're in Christianity today. We are seeing these things. But what is the admonition that God gives to us? He just simply says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. You know, we don't allow all of the things that are going wrong in America and in the church today. We don't allow that to stop us. What are we to do? We're just to continue on. I've been preaching out of the book of Jude for some time now. And if you'll notice, it's a book, as I told you, about apostasy. And he gives us all about apostates, and he describes them and does all of that. And in fact, let me just turn back there and read a verse or two. Just listen to what he says. After he deals with apostasy and all of those things, he says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You know, he says, yes, this is the way it's going to be. Apostates are going to be out there. No doubt about that. But you just keep building your faith. You just keep loving God, keeping in the love of God. You keep doing right. And tonight, I got to thinking about that. We're we're, and in fact, I was kind of planning on preaching out of Daniel again tonight, but it seems like the Lord has led in another direction. And I just kind of want to share some things with you tonight, because my heart is heavy, and I think yours is too, when it comes to when you get to looking around about America. And you look at it and you say, what's going on out there at San Francisco is disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. I don't know how many now of the sodomites have supposedly been united in marriage. I don't know how many, but it's an enormous amount of people. And finally, the governor is making a stand to try to get that thing stopped out there. But as of the last time I heard, he had not got it stopped. They was continuing to do the same thing, issuing license to sodomites. And it's just unbelievable. When I look at that thing, I say to myself, there's another nail in the coffin of America. Because all you have to do is look back to Sodom and Gomorrah and look at the great judgment that came upon Sodom and Gomorrah because of this very same thing. And yet here we're seeing this in America just seeming to mushroom all the time. And this is not going to stop there. It's going to continue to move forward. There's no doubt in my mind about that, because we're in the last days, and sin is getting worse and worse. Hopefully we can have someone to help put some stops to it. I'd love to see the stops put to it. But I don't know. You know, I think it was Brother Casper told me that Brother Bush, and I did not hear this, I did not see this, but he simply stated, well, it's troubling. Well, it's more than troubling. It's a disgrace to America. And so I say to myself, well, what can I do? What can we do as God's children? And so I pinned down some things this week that I thought just might help us. They're simple things that we can just keep doing. As he said here in Timothy, just continue thou. Just continue. Just keep doing what's right. And so I put down some things here, and I'm not going to preach about prayer tonight, but just in case you would think that I'm leaving that out, I am not, because that's one of the major things we must do. We must pray, and we must ask God. We must get a hold of God and ask him to help this nation. Amen? We've got to do that. We need to pray and spend time in prayer. But there's some things that I believe that we can do just as a nation, as a people, as a church, as individuals, that will help keep this country stable and headed back and in the direction that God wants it headed. And there's some things that in Christianity that is not being done in the church that ought to be done in the church. And so I just want you, and like I say, they're going to be just simple things that I would like for you to give thought to, that I want you to do. And basically, one of the great problems in the church even, and in America today, is the instability of the family. I want you to stabilize your family. I want you to remember and give all you have to keep the husband-wife-children relationship the way it ought to be. To love your wife with all of your heart, to love your husband with all of your heart, to love your children with all of your heart. We'll talk about them in just a few moments, but stabilize your family in the Lord. Have a good family. Love God. Walk with God. That's going to be one of the major things that you and I can do to help bring this nation and keep this nation where it should be. Because the families are falling apart all over this country. I mean, they're falling apart. And folks, it's not just in the world. It's in the church that they're falling apart. And we can't let that happen. I want you, as an individual, to work very diligently and hard to keep your family straight and to love one another and walk with God and train your children and teach them in the ways of the Lord. And don't give up. You know, when two people get together, let me tell you something, folks, it is a lot of times a very difficult situation. You bring two people in from two different spectrums, and it takes some getting used to. And I know the statistics say, anywhere from 5 to 7 years, there's a period there where there's a lot of times trouble brews. But I'm just saying to you, don't let that trouble boil over. Be right with God. Be right with your family. Love your family. And just keep that family together. And you'll help your country. You'll help your church. You'll help your community. Just keep it together. Wherever you're at right now, just keep it together. And do everything you can to just see to it that that family is built and grows in the Lord. Amen. Do what's right. Wives, do what's right. Husbands, do what's right. Children, do what's right. Amen. You remember something. These children we see around here are at stake. We are raising them for the future. And they need you to raise them right. Amen. So keep that family together. Another thing that I believe that we need to do is to take time and be sure that we train the children that's in that family. I want you to go with me over to the book of Proverbs, just a moment. Proverbs, the 22nd chapter of Proverbs. You're familiar with this verse of scripture, but let me say to you, a lot of times we get familiar with what the word says, but we have trouble applying it. We know what it says. We've heard it preached, we've read it ourselves, and we know that it says a certain thing, but then do we set about to apply those verses of scriptures and do what the verses of scripture says? Now the Bible says in Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, the 6th verse, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. That's a simple, precious verse of scripture. It's been used many, many times, and you've read it, you've heard it preached, you understand. But folks, training takes time, and it takes work. We a lot of times want to turn the training over to someone else. We want to turn the spiritual training over to the Sunday school teacher or the preacher or somebody else that will spiritually train our children. That is not the way God set this thing up. All we can do is be a blessing and a help and extend that training and help back up what you're teaching at home. But if it's only taught at Sunday school and in church services, we have failed. God says train, and that word means to train. It means to work at it, to do it. It takes work. To train someone to do something takes diligent work. What I'm saying to you, one of the greatest things that you can do for your country, for your church, for your community, is train your children. How? In the way that they should go. Give them training. You know, and I know, if you've been a parent very long, that's difficult. That's not easy work. It takes work. But it's something that must be done. And we must understand that if without training, somebody is going to train them. They're going to get training from somewhere. Understand? So God wants the parents to train their children up in the ways of the Lord. So I'm saying one of the greatest things you can do for your country is train your children. Take time to do that in the way they should go. And let me tell you, the way is the way of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the way that they should go. You agree with that? Not only that, I want you to go over to the book of Deuteronomy, please. The book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. I'll start reading at verse number 1. But I want, and we kind of touched a little bit on this when we just talked about training, but there's a great necessity in the country today and in our churches today. You need to get involved in the education of your children. You need to be involved in it. And I'm going to read to you some scriptures of what God says about that. You need to educate your children. Okay? Here's what he says in verse number 1 of chapter 6. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. First of all, in verse number 2, I want you to notice that one of the ways that you get involved in the education of your children is set the example. That's what he says, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you. How in the world are you going to educate your children in the ways of the Lord if you do not keep the commandments of God and set the example of those commandments before the Lord? How are you going to do that? The first step is setting the example before your children. And they'll one of these days raise up and call you blessed. You've got to set the example, folks. You've got to do it. God commanded the Israelites here to set the example, to keep the commands of God. Now he says, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." What a commandment that God gives us. God tells us we are to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. Not only are we to set the example before our children in keeping the commandments of God, we are to love God. And that love comes out. It becomes evident in our life. Do we love God? God said that's what we should do. Now here's what he says. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart." You know, they've got to be in your heart before you can ever get them into somebody else's heart. How are we going to teach our children these things if they're not in our heart? Amen. And he says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of these things when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." And you notice here, he says it ought to be, education ought to be going on all the time. You ought to talk to them about the principles of the Word of God. You know, when something happens in their life, or just something happens, maybe it's a simple thing that happens in your daily life, it's a good time to bring out illustrations and say, you know what, this was what God says about this matter. When it comes on the news that the sodomites are being married out there, it's a good time to teach your children and say to them, you know, that's against the Bible, the Word of God. Just good, solid teaching of the truths of the Word of God. It's a great time for you to do that. When your children maybe rebel or do something wrong, it's a great time to set them down and teach them and talk to them of what God thinks about rebellion. Amen? We talked about it this morning. There's no doubt, folks, about who we are. We're old sinners saved by grace. We know that. But listen, God doesn't put up with rebellion, and God don't expect us to put up with rebellion in our children's lives. Something needs to be done about it. But at the same time, they need to be taught. They need to be trained. They need to be taught what is wrong with this. And you can do that throughout the day, wherever you are, teaching them certain principles from God's Word. Good thing? Well, see, God wants you involved in their education. Don't just take a chance they're going to turn out all right. That's what John R. Rice said. I know you probably always heard these things, but John R. Rice, someone asked him, "How do you know your girls are going to turn out all right?" He said, "Because I'm going to turn them out." Amen. And that's what we've got to say. Are you going to take a chance that your children are just going to turn out all right? No, you've got to turn them out. Yes. And you do that by education. You do that by teaching and training them of the things of the Lord. And that's what God told them to do here. In verse 8 he says, "And thou shalt bind them for sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." You see, God says they have to become, the things of God, the word of God has to become a part of your life. Yes. Has to become. It's the standard for life. And not only that, he said, put them on the doorpost out in front of your house. In other words, make sure your house is doing right. You know, as far as me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Amen. Let it be known that your house is different than the neighbor's house that doesn't serve God. Your house is different. And you need to let them know that, you know, as though there was a sign out front. They may not be a sign out front, but this house is different. We serve God here. Just let that be known unto your children, you see. Let them grow up that way and hear that and tell them that and teach them the precious book, the Bible, the Word of God. You need to get involved in their education. Amen. Parents need to get involved in their education. Teach them right. You can turn all of that over to somebody else, but folks, that's not what God tells us to do. No, no, no. I've always been a firm believer. I believe moms and dads ought to raise children. I believe that with all my heart. I've believed that all my life. I always will believe it. I don't believe anything else. I don't believe somebody else ought to raise my children. I'm talking about unless there's an accident or something impossible to do. I understand that those things happen. But you know what? We ought to raise our children. We're the ones ought to spend time with our children. We're the ones ought to do that. We're the ones ought to teach our children the things of the Lord. Amen. Other people may help us. Thank God for godly Sunday school teachers. Thank God for children's church workers. Amen. Thank God for all of those, you know. Thank God for preachers that preach the Word of God. But folks, you can't put all of that onto them. You've got to teach them and train them. So I'm saying to you, one of the greatest things you can do for your country is to train your children and get involved in the education of your children and involved in educating them concerning the Word of God. Amen? Yes. Not only that, and I want to go over to the book of 1 Timothy. First Timothy, the 5th chapter. There are just some simple things that I believe we ought to teach our children, teach our family. Look at verse number 1 in the 5th chapter. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, and younger and the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. You know what I believe? I believe we need to teach our children to respect our elders. I just believe we need to do that. We need to give up on this mess of allowing our young people to treat elders and older people with no dignity whatsoever. I still believe, I really believe this. I believe when young people are around, and I believe when elder people stand up, come in, I believe they ought to get up, they ought to shake their hand, they ought to treat them, they're Mr. So-and-so or Brother So-and-so. Treat them with respect and dignity. I believe in that, and that has to be taught. You see, I've seen too many that doesn't do that. In my lifetime, I've seen a lot that doesn't do that, but they need to be taught to respect their elders, and they need to be taught to respect the elder ladies around here. Right. Amen. Amen. Don't run over them going out a door. Right. I know sometimes children, they don't think, you know, younger children, they don't think, but sometimes it scares me back there. Some of those kids are running out the door, and there's an older lady going out the door, and they just about run over them. Yeah. Oh, that's no good. Those kind of things are no good. No, we need to have some respect, and we need to teach our young people to respect elders. Treat their elders right. You'll never be sorry for teaching your young people how to stand up and shake hands and speak kindly and call people sir and ma'am and things like that. You need to learn that. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. You need to learn those things. It's good. It's proper to have that instilled in you. I have problem. Honestly, I have problems sometimes because I'll call somebody Mr. So-and-so that's older than me, or sometimes sir older than me, and they sometimes get all over me and say, please don't call me that. Please don't do that. You know, but it's a habit of life. It's hard for me not to do that. And I don't mean to hurt them because of, but it's hard for me not to do that. I've been taught all my life to do that. And it's just kind of hard not to. Amen. But we see a lot of young people today that shows no respect whatsoever to older folk. That's bad. That says something about what's down here. That says a lot about what's inside you. Amen. So we need to teach them. Teach them respect. Amen. So I believe that would help our country. I believe that help our church. I believe that help you as a family if we would do that. Not only that, I want you to go over to the book of Psalms, please. The 101st Psalm, please. I believe we need to protect our children from wrong influences, the wrong things that come into our life, their lives. Listen, folk, you need to put a protective hand upon your children. You'll say, oh, I trust my children. Don't be a fool. I'm not saying that wrongly. I'm not trying to be smart. Don't be a fool. Don't be so silly that you say, listen, they're just human beings. And they're like this morning we talked, they're just sinners. And they're growing up. And this growing up bit is hard. It's not an easy thing, and they need your help, and they need your direction in doing this. So you protect them from the wrong kind of influences in their life. In Psalms 101, he says, I will sing mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. You know, David here said, I'm going to walk within my house with a perfect heart. I'm going to keep my heart right with God. I believe that's so necessary in a family life. Folks, moms and dads, keep your own heart right so you can help keep your children's heart right. See, when your heart's not right, how can you expect their hearts to be not right? Say, well, I'm just going to raise them to do right no matter. No. You set the example. You walk within your house with a perfect heart. And then he says, I will set no wicked things before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. He said another thing I'm not going to do. I'm not going to let any wicked thing be set before my eyes. I say to you, please, please, please control. Whether if you have a TV, control that silly thing. If you have a VCR thing, control that thing. Be careful what you allow them to see. If you have an internet, control that thing. And don't let them get all of that junk before their eyes. I've told you before, I've preached on it many, many times, but what goes in is going to come out. And if you can keep it from going in, the better off you are. See, you got to stop that. You got to protect them. You got to take care of them. And the moms and dads are the ones that's going to do that. Amen? So don't be afraid, daddies. Don't be afraid. Say, well, you know, my kid's going to get mad at me. Baloney. Let them get mad at you. It's up to you. It's up to you. Amen. Listen to what he says. He said, a forward heart, verse 4, shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. In other words, he said, I'm going to be very careful of the ones that I have around me. I'm going to be very careful of the influences, the wicked people that would be around me and my family. I'm going to be very careful about that. I'm not going to allow it. They don't want to live for God. They don't walk with God. Then we'll just part company. Okay? Sure. He said, whosoever privately slandered his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not suffer. You know what I would do if with a slandered his neighbor? You know what I would do with a gossip? I'd refuse to talk to a gossip. I would refuse to talk with him. They just want to gossip. They just want to gossip. They just want to gossip. I'd refuse to do it. I wouldn't be a part of it. Don't listen to them. You don't have to listen to that junk. You don't have to be a part of that. You see, and what it does, many times, it shows where you are when you're willing to listen to that junk. Put it away from you. You don't have to treat a gossip right. Walk away from them.
Amen.
Call them down for their gossiping.
Amen.
See, and you know why it gets quiet, and it does, is because you see that's a hard thing to do, and you don't want to do that. You might make somebody mad.
Amen.
Well, it's time the gossip got mad.
Right.
Let them get mad. We don't care about that.
Right.
You don't have to worry about that. No. You just do right. You put that kind of stuff aside. You know, I know this down through the years. I've found out who the gossip and who isn't the gossip, and I don't want to be around the gossip.
Amen.
I'm not going to spend any time around the gossip.
Amen.
No, I ain't going to do it. I don't want to be around them.
Amen.
True?
Yes.
Well, teach your family that.
Yes.
Teach your children that. Teach your family that. You don't have to put up with that stuff. Amen? And he says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. You know, I was talking with Steve Davis this week, and went over, and I suppose I was there maybe an hour and a half. I don't remember. I was there a good long time talking with him, and you know, when they said, and they told me, they said, you know, Brother Ross said, there's just some people in your church there that are just sweet people. That helped me so much. They just, you know what? When you walk into church, you know they're just going to be there. That's exactly what he told me. And he said, they always try to encourage me. He said, I don't hear him talking about the other members of the church. They just always try to encourage me. It's been a blessing, he said to me. Keep your eye on the faithful of the land.
Amen.
Keep your eye on those who are walking with God and love God and has a good spirit and good attitude about them. Keep your eye on them. Put these other ones out of your eyesight.
Yes.
I don't mean you don't try to help them, don't try to love them, but you don't keep your eye on them kind of folk. No. You put that away. See, you can help your country. You can help your nation. You can help this church right here. You can help your community if you'll just keep your eye on the faithful of the land. There's people right here in this church been faithful to God for years and years and years and years and years. A good old-fashioned, just faithful. They've just been serving God, men and women alike, just loving God, walking God with God, doing right, serving the Lord, just doing it year after year after year after year after year after year. Get your eyes on them. Not on these gossips. Not on these that don't want to be faithful.
Right.
This up and down crowd.
Right.
You don't need that. Get your eyes on the faithful.
Yeah.
Amen. And you know what the thing is? They don't even have to be bragged on to be faithful. They're doing it because they love God.
Amen.
Their relationship with God is right. And they love God, so they're just faithful. Amen. All right. Another thing I'd like for you to do. Well, let me see. I didn't read all of that. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Do you know what? I don't like a liar.
Amen.
I don't like a liar.
Right.
I've got to deal with something with a person this week. In school, I asked him something. I said, I want to know something. Was you involved in this? Oh, No, I had nothing to do with that. I said, now, if I have some proof that you did, would that change things? Oh, I had nothing to do with it. Well, I've got the proof. Lie, 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 lie. It ain't going to help you to lie. Tell the truth. You know what? It's going to catch you.
Yes.
It's going to catch you. You say, I'll get in trouble if I tell the truth. You'll get more if you don't.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
You see, just be better to tell the truth. Yes. Got to teach them, you see. And that's what David said here. He said, "He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight." He said, "I don't even want to see them. I don't want them to tarry around where I'm at, because I don't like a liar." Folks, listen to me. We got to quit this lying stuff. We got to tell the truth. Amen. And then he says, I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. You know, David had a little advantage there. He was king and he could do it. Amen. We may not be able to do all that, but that's what you feel like doing. Amen. So David gives us some good instructions there in Psalm 101 about how to handle some things and what to put before us and what not to put before us. And that's what we need to teach our children. See, we need to teach them those things. Another thing and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but another thing I would like for you to do, I want you to teach your children to work hard to support their families. You know, the Bible says it very definitely, if you don't work, you don't eat. Take care of a lot of problems, wouldn't it? Now, folks, we got to be, I thank God. Boy, I tell you, we've got men in here just good old hard workers. They've done it all their life. They just worked. They just keep a working. They just do it. I mean, you don't have to go and try to find them. They just working. They just do it. They go out and do their job. Thank God for that. Amen. Teach your children to work. Train them to work. Any of these businessmen around here that's hired young people for help, they'll tell you right now, there's some just will not work. They don't want to work. They don't want to do anything. You put them to work and they'll quit you in a moment. Right. Oh, no. You teach your children to work. Get them busy. Moms, get them busy in that house. Make them do what's right. Don't feel sorry for them. No. Keep their room straight. Keep them clean. Well, get in there and help with the dishes, and get in there and help cook them and the meals, and whatever you need to do. Wash clothes and whatever it is. Teach them and train them to work. That's what you do. Yes, it is. Yeah, you say, Brother Ross, you ever give them a break? Yeah, you give them a break. You let them do some things once in a while and give them enjoyment. Yes, you do those things. Oh, yes, absolutely. But that's not 90% of the time. Or 99% of the time in today's world. No. No, you make them work. You teach them how to work. They're not going to just want to jump in and work until you put the attitude in their heart to want to. And then they know it's right to do it, and they'll do it. There's some kids around this school, and I hesitate to mention because I don't want to leave somebody out. But I can go to these young men anytime. I don't care when it is, and say, "Will you help me?" And they're there. Right, Pastor Jerry? You don't have to worry about them not fluffing off. No, they just work. They'll help you do anything. They just do it. Teach them how to work. Amen. And then another thing, and I'm not going to turn over there, but it'd be good for you to read Romans, the 13th chapter. I believe something. I believe we ought to teach our young people and ourselves also to be good citizens. You know, there's so many things that you can do as just being a good citizen. One of the things you can do is keep an eye on the elderly that lives around you. So that's what I've tried to teach Jerry. I've tried to teach this to Lori and Chuck. Keep an eye on the elderly that lives around you. Amen. But I think about it, and I know that Mr. Lockard lives right down there at the corner from us, and I know Jerry and Cheryl has helped them, and I know he's given them wood to burn and things like that and other things. I know he's done things from time to time to just kind of keep an eye on him, help him. I sometimes feel so sorry for him. I see him out there trying to mow his grass out there, and he's limping like this and trying to mow, and he's got a grandson lives up on the hill, and You know, wasn't this winter. I didn't have any this winter, but last winter I loaded up, I don't know, two or three loads of wood, took down to him so he'd have wood for the winter. He gets out there and he gets it from a lumber yard somewhere, and he cuts it on a table, not a table saw, a radial arm saw, I think, and he cuts that up in pieces and burns that all winter. I hear him down there and the old saws are running. He's burning a piece so he can keep it warm. You know, there's people around you God puts around you. See how you respond. You ought to keep an eye on the elderly folk around you. No, I'm serious about that, folks. Y'all just keep an eye on them.
Amen.
See, that's being a good citizen.
Yes.
See, God would have you to do that. You wanna take care and be careful when there's folk that are sick and they can't care for themselves and they need help. They may need a meal brought in. They just need somebody to come maybe clean their house or do something for them. They've gotten down and they can't get it all done, and they just need somebody to help them a little bit. I think we keep an eye on the fatherless of the land.
Yes.
Did you know, and I'm going to quote, I'm going to say this, and I believe I am correct on this. If I'm wrong, I'll take the wrong, but I think there's never in the Bible it ever mentions the motherless, but it always mentions the fatherless over and over and over. Because a father is responsible to take care of his family.
Yeah.
And you know, when they don't have a father in the home, somebody better step up and at least see to it that there's some help there.
Right.
To be a good mentor there to them and a blessing and a help to them. You don't have to do everything for them, but see to it they have some encouragement and help.
Right.
The fatherless.
Yeah.
Do you hear me?
Amen.
You see, that's just being a good citizen. You need to keep an eye out for the truly needy of the land. There's just sometimes some folk just do need a helping hand.
Right.
And you look at them and say, well, they don't deserve it. If they do everything right, they wouldn't be like, well, I know, I understand. I do, I understand. But listen to me, folks. There's just time we need to look around. There's sometimes people have needs.
Yeah.
That's being a good citizen. Amen? And I believe God would have us to do that. Another thing, teach your children to take full responsibility for their mistakes.
Right. Amen.
I tell you, we're living in a generation who will not take full responsibility. They want to blame everything onto somebody else.
Yeah, right.
This is tragedy.
True.
I mean, I hear this over and over and over. Well, so-and-so done this. It's not my fault. No, so-and-so. Oh, come off of it.
Amen.
Learn how to take it on the shoulder and take your responsibility on your shoulders and say, you know what? I had a lot to do with this. It's my fault. It's my problem. I need to get me right.
Right.
Amen. I need to get me instead of always looking at somebody else and blaming somebody else, because you wouldn't be this way if somebody else would straighten out. Oh, baloney.
Amen.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Amen. Take responsibility for your mistakes. And sometimes you even have to take the wrong when it's not your mistake.
Yes. Right.
You just have to take the wrong. Word of God instructs us to do that. Mm-hmm. Something can't be settled, then just take the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that go in America today? Where'd that go in our churches today?
Yeah.
Amen. And then I just want you to promise to honor God in all your life. I just want you to honor the Lord. And just be what God would want you to be. I want you to practice your faith daily. I believe if you'd read your Bible and you'd pray and you'd live clean and you'd witness and do those things, I believe God would honor that here in America. I believe it's what we're supposed to do. Just live your faith. And I believe also we ought to, if we want to really help this country, I think you ought to be faithful to every service of the church. Now listen, you know, I look at this and there's speakers that come in here and they look around on our Sunday night crowd a lot of times and they just shake their head. They can't believe it. That ought not to be an exceptional thing. That ought to be the normal. I mean, every time the house of God is open, we ought to be there. And I thank God for this great crowd we have tonight, but that I ought to not have to pat you on the back for it. It's what you should do. It's what you should be here. You oughtn't be anywhere else tonight. You'll be faithful to the house of God. Amen. Boy, learn to do that. Teach your children. Boy, faithfulness is necessary. You be there when the doors of the house of God is open. No, you be there. Don't none of this hangnail stuff. None of this get a hangnail and you got to stay home. None of this. The kid gets to blow a snotty nose and both people had to stay home and take care of him. Baloney. I think one can handle it. Amen. I think that would be good. See, be faithful. Teach your children to be faithful. I mean, it should have to be something very, very serious to not be in God's house. You just be there. Amen. And then not only that, to be a positive influence in your church and not a negative influence. You come to the house of God to be a positive influence. You walk in them doors and you got a smile on your face. You shake hands, and there may be times when you don't feel like smiling. Sometimes you're going through some difficult, hard times, and it's difficult, but put a smile on your face anyway and shake hands and be a blessing and a positive blessing to those around you, not a negative. Understand? That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to help our church folk. When we come to the house of God, we're supposed to be a blessing. It didn't everybody be a blessing to you. Sit around and think, well, if somebody don't come over and shake my hand, I'm going to be mad. Baloney, go shake somebody's hand. Love God. Amen. Be a positive influence in your church and be a witness for Christ all the time. Everywhere you go, just be a witness for Christ. And just be sure your family, listen to me, be sure your family knows Christ as personal Savior. Know the state of your flock. Oh, listen, know where they are. It's important that you know they're saved, but it's important to know where they are in their Christian growth. How are they doing? Are they walking with God? Do they have a spiritual sweet attitude about them? Do they love the Lord? If not, find out why. Do something about it. Don't be satisfied with someone who's not going to walk with God and serve the Lord. Don't be satisfied with that. Make sure they're saved. And then be sure that you help them to grow in the Lord and love God and walk with God. Amen? That's serious business. It's up to me to know the state of my flock. I believe it's up to me to help my wife to be a better Christian than she's ever been before. No, I believe it's my responsibility to do that. And I do a lot of that by example. We do a lot of talking. We talk about things and we discuss things. And I want her to be the greatest Christian on the face of the earth. No, I really do. I want her to be that. I didn't say she was. I said I want her to be that. That's what I want for her. Amen. I want my children to do well. I want them to love God. I'd rather them love God than be a millionaire any day. I'm not worried about them being a millionaire. I'm not worried about how much money they make. I'm worried about and concerned about, do they love God?
Amen.
Amen. Let's teach our children. Let's help our families. Let's help our community. Let's help this nation. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again today I want to thank you for the precious Bible, the Word of God, and thank you for these reminders tonight. We certainly need you. Once again, Lord, we just need you to help us. And Father, these things we've talked about tonight, it takes work, it takes diligence. And Lord, we just need you to help us to do it. So I just pray as a people, we were stirred tonight and helped by this sermon tonight to be more like you. Now, Father, I just pray during this invitation, it's your invitation. And Father, we just pray that you'll deal with hearts of a need of coming to an old-fashioned altar, just getting along with God, dealing, Lord, with them concerning whatever it may be. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.